Hi, I'm Bob Heath with Kids for Christ USA. Thanks for joining us today. I am, quite frankly, very honored to be able to have you listen and be able to share with you this vision, the vision of what we do with the kids in the public schools. We are an organization that works with parents and students to plan and or facilitate Bible clubs in America's schools. We started a few years ago, actually in January of 2001, with one school. Kind of a long and silly story that I shared here last week. On one afternoon, so I'm not going to share the whole story again, but after wrestling with God for quite some time about how, you know, whether I should do this or not, quite frankly, it was not whether I would do it or not, it was just emphatically I would not. God kind of played a trick on me, and I ended up consenting, if you will, to obeying God and starting a club in the school that my sons attend in. Bible clubs are something that is protected by the law. Specifically, high school students have the right to student-initiated Bible clubs. They call it a First Amendment right for high school students, secondary students, to have student-initiated Bible clubs in their school. My reasoning was rather obvious. Well, if it's a First Amendment right for them and they're minors, then it must also pertain to elementary kids. And I would think with their parents, we could make an assumption that we could go forward with having First Amendment Bible clubs and be protected by the First Amendment. So I asked, after I had already asked permission, I studied the law. It was kind of interesting. And we began to prepare to have a club starting in January of 01. When I started preparing, I called a friend and asked her how she conducted the club that she was involved with. And she proceeded to tell me not only that, but to tell me what an amazing mission field that the public schools are. What an amazing mission field this is, and that in her view, everyone should be involved in it. I'd never heard anything like that before. She went on and told me, Bob, this is the greatest mission field in America. And it just stuck. It just resonated with me. It was a statement that was just went straight to my heart. And I've tried to pitch it to people across this nation, to pastors, to individuals, to students, and so on. Sometimes it sticks, and a lot of times it doesn't, because when we think of missions here in America, we think of over there, or we think of the side of town that we might refer to as the ghetto or the poorer side of town. Those are the people who need Jesus, not the middle-class kids in public schools, not even those that are lower income on the right side of town, which, by the way, there's a lot of, or certainly not the kids who we might classify as rich kids, because they don't need Jesus. They've got everything already, and they're probably already in church, but I'm telling you, that's not the way it is. It really is the most, not only the greatest mission field in America, but I believe the most amazing mission field in America. Jesus said something in John chapter 4 that we've all heard quoted, but I'm going to say it, read it to you again, and I want you to just hear the heart of this. He says, don't say that there's 4 months and then comes the harvest. No, Jesus said, the fields are ripe and they're ready to harvest. And I'm telling you, the fields of our public schools, even more importantly, the fields of the youth of America are ripe and they're ready to harvest. Many of us have probably said something along the lines of, man, those public schools, they are a mess, and sure wish somebody would do something. I can't believe the violence that goes on in the schools. I certainly can't believe the drugs, the illicit sex. I can't believe all that stuff. When is someone going to do something? And everyone's always waiting for someone to do it, but Jesus didn't wait. Didn't say that to us. He said to go ye. In other words, you go, not Hugo. Not that little car that didn't ever really make it. No. By the way, you're going to hear my jokes are not always good. He said you go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preaching the gospel doesn't always mean that you try to witness to everything that moves, try to get everybody and everything saved. Sometimes preaching the gospel is living life. Sometimes it's just being in a place and being real. In fact, quite frankly, we'd reach a lot more people if we were real more of the time. Well, that's kind of the heart as far as Kids for Christ. When we launched in January of 07, we had the one school that my two oldest sons were in at the time. All three of my sons have gone through that school now. And that school, we had one semester. I saw over 250 kids respond at the end of meetings to altar calls. I thought, wow, God, this is really amazing. This is really something that you're doing. I could do this for the rest of my life. And I can tell you that God has made it real plain to me that that is exactly what I'm going to do. These kids are astounding. And they deserve your attention. And they deserve to have you in that mission field with them. So at any rate, we went from one school to four in the fall. I shared the vision God had put in my heart to reach not just our city, but our state and our nation. And we went from one school to four schools when we launched in the first week in September of 01. As you might have already thought ahead and realized, just a few days after that, the day we all know as 9/11 happened. And within a month, we were at eight schools. And by Christmas break, fall break, rather, we were at 12 schools. And by Christmas, we were working with 15 schools in the Tulsa area. And at the end of the school year, there were 18 involved. It is astounding to see God move in the lives of kids in a place that many of us thought God wasn't even interested in. I'm telling you, God is interested in reaching the kids in your public schools. Today, here in just a few minutes, I've got going to have my son, Braden, with me, and a young lady by the name of Shada, who have been involved in Kids for Christ since the very beginning, literally since the very beginning, both of them. Shada gave her life to Jesus in Kids for Christ, is my understanding. And my son, of course, he was saved before Kids for Christ. But they are both running the club in their public high school now. My eldest son is a junior in high school, and Shada is a sophomore, and they were in the same school together last year. And I'm going to let them share from their heart about reaching the kids in their school and about how they're going about it and about what the club means to them. And then before I introduce them, I want to play a clip. It's a part of a podcast. It's a part of a testimony of a young man in Simi Valley, California, sharing about the mission field that God has called him to, that mission field being his school. And I hope that between myself and Braden and Shada and the testimony of this young man, you are moved by the Spirit of God to get involved in getting into the schools and reaching kids. A friend of mine once said this to me. He said, Bob, he says, everybody in America is clamoring. Pastors all over this nation are clamoring to find a means to reach kids or reach people who are what we would consider unchurched. And he said, but you found it, because the unchurched send their kids to school. And he says, by the time they reach junior high, they're not just unchurched, but they are Christ rejectors in many cases. Well, I want to reach the kids in that mission field before it's too late. So join me for just a moment and listen to this clip from the testimony of a young man in Simi Valley, California, and then I'm going to introduce you to my son, Braden, and our friend, Shada.
I'm one of the kids that's in that mission field. My school is my missions field, you know, and I'm out there every day, you know, fighting, you know, trying to live Christ. And, like, the thing is, you know, I'm God's child before I'm my parents' child, and in all reality, my parents really don't have the authority, the God-given authority, to take me away from my missions field. I mean, unless it's God's will. And it's just like, I thought of the analogy, like, if there's a firefighter saving a kid from a burning building, you don't go and take the firefighter away from the burning building. You know, you let him do its job, you know? And my job right now is to minister to these kids at my school.
Well, I don't know about you, but if that testimony doesn't get you excited and doesn't get you to see the schools as a mission field from the perspective not just my perspective, but from the perspective of a kid who's there. I don't know what will. I've got my son Braden with me today, and a young lady by the name of Shada that have been involved in Kids for Christ since the very beginning. Both of them were there the very first day. Braden because, well, he had to because I wasn't going to leave him at home, and Shada because she wanted to, which is always nice. And and they're not sure what to say to me right now. And Shada is, I'm going to just ask her to just share a little bit from her heart what Kids for Christ has meant to her. And then also we're going to come to a point I'm going to ask her to share with you how what she's doing in her school right now. So if you don't mind, Shada, just tell me what it's meant to you over the course of the last 7 years.
Well, I started going to Kids for Christ when you first started it, Bob. And I remember thinking it was a perfect opportunity to go to church because my family didn't. I grew up in my parents really weren't religious in any sense. They definitely weren't Christian. So it was the opportunity for me to learn about God and Jesus and all these things that I didn't know about. So I went every year from the time it started till I got into high school.
Eighth grade,
and then I stopped for a little
bit. Apparently, I remember better than you.
You do. It was seriously the thing that I looked forward to every week. I remember it was so good to be able to learn about the Bible because everyone else around me, like, they all grew up in homes and they heard the Bible stories and I didn't, and it was the perfect place to get knowledge about this whole, you know, religion I didn't even know about. And it made me totally excited. It was a cool place for kids to just, I don't know, kind of grow together and learn together. And it was really hard when I got into high school and they didn't have it, because you stopped. Well,
I was of the belief that my call was to reach kids while they were young, to build men rather than to wait till high school and repair them. Because so many people, when they think of reaching kids, they think of reaching high school students. I don't know why. I don't know if it's fear, because amazingly, sometimes as adults, we seem to think that it's really difficult to talk to children, but it's really easy to talk to teenagers, to which I usually tell most adults, have you tried to talk to a teenager lately? Because that's more challenging than talking to a child sometimes. But that's why we weren't there. And then what naturally happens is that my son moved into high school, and my son and Shada kind of prodded me to get something, help them get something going in their school.
Yeah, it was hard every week not having what I grew up with, you know. It was a sense of security and a sense of, I don't know, just knowing that every week I could go into school and have a morning where I just kind of get to start out on the right foot. And going into high school, I felt like it was something that was definitely needed. Like, mm-hmm. It was one of those moments where, like, yeah, I got this structure when I grew up, but then high school is when I need to apply all this structure to, like, that I've been solidified on. Is that a good way to put it? I mean, it going into high school is the time when you need to spread the word and you need to use your knowledge about God and the Bible, and it's hard, and you go through all these different things, and it's like, I don't have that security anymore of going in the morning and feeling like, wow, there are other people who feel the same way.
Right.
So it was definitely a cool idea to bring that to our school because, you know, you go to youth group on Wednesday night and it's like you're one person there, and then you have to go to school and you can't talk about God. Kids don't talk about God. And so that was the one place where you could find people who agreed with you, or you could lead people to Christ. And I think high school it's just as important as, you know, middle school and elementary school.
What happened with Shada? Shada did disappear for about a year while she was in eighth grade. And ironically, the same thing happened with my son, with Braden. Braden, he didn't disappear. He got up and came with me every day, every week to the club at his school. But that was a really tough year for you, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It definitely was.
Eighth grade was a year that was, we could say, make or break.
Yeah, it was hell.
That would be one way of describing it.
Yeah.
Braden had a really challenging year, and one of those years that as a parent you wish your child didn't have to go through, but it seems like every child does. And my wife and I had to go through trying to help him. And you know, we went to the school and begged them for some help, and God moved through that at the end of the year. And Braden ended up going on a mission trip that summer. That mission trip, Braden, you, on that mission trip, something significant happened. You were given the opportunity to share the love of God with a guy there.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave his life to Jesus. Would you say that that was a major turning point for you? And what?
Yeah, I mean, like, it was cool because, like, I was just now finding out, like, who I really was. And then I had the chance to help this guy that had no idea, like, why he was even there. He didn't believe in God, and God just changed his life. And I still talk to him to this day, and he's doing great. So,
but ultimately, God changed your life.
Oh yeah, just through that, I learned so much. So,
and when you came back, then you reached ninth grade, and you were on fire going into the school year for God after mm-hmm. coming back from that trip, but
yeah.
kind of struggled a little bit. And would the club have helped you as a ninth grader when we actually didn't have one there?
Right.
It would have.
It would have, definitely, yeah.
I'll put words in your mouth. It would have.
It definitely would have.
And so you and Shada, that last year, Shada, you voiced what you just did a couple seconds ago to me. And said, why don't we have it? And you volunteered to get the club going.
Yeah.
Why don't you walk through the process, in case there's a high school student out there, what you had to do as far as approaching okay. the school and getting it started.
I'm not sure if it's the same for every school, but in our district, basically any club wanting, you know, any club that is wanting to be started at our school has to go through our principal. Mm-hmm. And it requires a student leader and a teacher sponsor. So, and it has to be, like, either a weekly basis or a monthly basis. Like, it has to be consistent. And so those were the only requirements. So I actually started it, I mean, I started it every other week, and it was in this little room with a teacher who really wasn't that passionate about it.
Right.
And I was, you know, I was really wanting to get it started, and it was really tough at first because it's, like, I felt like nobody was really backing me up, so... Then, I guess, Braden approached me with a teacher he had in mind instead of the one I was using.
Right.
And this guy, this teacher he told me about was way passionate, was right where I was about this club and what the vision, I guess, we had. We both wanted to see it grow, and I no longer felt like I was on my own. So I found this team of kids who were right there with me. I mean, Braden was there helping. This new teacher was there helping. And a bunch of kids were just like, I love this group, and I want to, you know, I want to help in any way I can. So definitely, like, finding a group of kids who are there to back you up is necessary, and a teacher who is there to back you up is necessary, because it's definitely hard to do it on your own. But it just took a few signatures, a few papers to fill out, and just to pick a time and a day and a teacher that'll be there for you.
It's that so simple, huh?
It's very simple. And then, like, the next step is just, you know, every week deciding, all right, what are we gonna do this week? You know?
See, it's the thing that often that I have a struggle when I talk with people across the country with inspiring them to get mm-hmm. going is fear. They're afraid to approach the principal or the
yeah.
school. And then you got the other side of it, where when someone does get confident, the possibility that they might be met with fear, disguised as a very good principal face, you know, a principal that doesn't want you to know they don't know the law, and so people are afraid of talking to those principals. I remember going into, you guys were both in the same elementary school, going into your principal and asking for permission and thinking, I think I'm going to die here before I can get this out. And it was crazy trying to ask her for permission, because I suddenly became the little boy in the principal's office.
Yeah.
But it's just not that tough.
But, no, I think the thing we need to realize as teenagers is our principals are there for us.
That's right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what made me so comfortable is I'm already, you know, I was really involved in a lot of things at my school. This isn't the only thing. So I think... I've kind of always known, like, my principal is there for me. So I think it's just a realization that, like, they want to see you succeed.
Right.
They want to see you spread your passions out and help others. And they're rooting for you, you know? And I think a lot
yeah.
of times we see the school board as, like, people out to get us and wanting to see us, like, fail our tests and You know what? That's like so not true. We're constantly like, oh, my teacher hates me. But really, I mean, if you're willing and if you believe their capabilities, they'll believe yours too. You know, it's just a matter of respecting each other, I think. So I hope that makes kids, like, makes teenagers passionate about their own school, because there's a lot
you can do. Have you had, I haven't talked to you. I know you guys listening think, well, he's your son. But my son is working his first job these days, and we kind of pass each other coming and going, and I miss some things. Have you had anybody actually say anything to you or share anything with you, any testimonies from the clubs or what this, any significance? I know there's your friend Andrea who has shared what you have meant as far as helping her reach with her Christian walk. But has there been anything, anyone share anything with regard to how much the club means to them yet?
Yeah, I've had a few kids come in because where I work is right next to the high school. I've had like two or three people come in and just like, while they're having a smoothie, we just sat down and talked, and they were just so psyched about like everything that was going on and what God was getting ready to do. And they're just, you know, coming out of the woodwork to help. So I've had a lot of people do that.
You had a really exciting, you know, a real strong girl, a couple, a guy and a girl who, not necessarily a couple, but a guy who plays guitar and a girl with a very powerful voice who are doing worship for you.
Mm-hmm.
That has been really exciting.
Yeah, I didn't even know that, you know, I mean, like, I hadn't heard him before the first meeting, so I was just hoping, you know, they were going to be good, and they just absolutely blew me away. Like I didn't even have words. I was just like, oh my goodness, like, wow, these people are like, you know, bros.
From my perspective, walking into your school one day just to take pictures for the Facebook group you guys have for the club, it was really awesome, really exciting to see. It was like 27 of you that morning that were worshiping God with all your heart, not holding back.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with Shada's school. I was in her school last Friday, and I'm going to try and leave 5 minutes for Shada to tell what happened at the end of her club last week, because it was powerful. But when walk in and see kids of all denominations, people who their families may not be able to communicate because they have different viewpoints doctrinally, but kids of all denominations just giving their all to God and worshiping in a place where, hey, when I was a kid, quite frankly, we didn't want to even sing because we didn't want anybody to know how bad we sang.
Yeah.
And here these guys are in both schools. This, just so you listening understand, Braden is at the high school in their school district, which is just junior and senior high, and Shada is at the intermediate high school, which is freshman and sophomore class. Last year there were roughly 60 kids at least once or twice that were there for the club when they were both in the same school. And so now if you kind of split, the groups are a little smaller, but every bit is dynamic. And I just want Brashada real quick to share what went on. Last week Shada shared a story, the short story of Jeremiah and how Jeremiah really... is someone that she can relate with. And I gotta tell you, to listen to a 15-year-old preach about Jeremiah and relating with Jeremiah, I wished I had recorded it. Unfortunately, I was having a failure to listen to the Spirit of God syndrome that day, because God told me to replace the batteries in my camera before I got out of the car. And I walked in and took two pictures, and the camera went dead, and there was no way to record it. So Shane, why don't you just share just a little capsule of what you shared with everybody and the response, because I wanted to share at least the one testimony, if not both of them.
Okay, yeah. I basically just talked about how Jeremiah went into Israel at a time when everyone was completely far away from God, and he had to speak the words of God, and it was like he was completely hated for it, basically. And how, as you know, kids at school who are following Christ, every day we're faced with challenges. You know, when we feel, oh my gosh, I really need to help this person, I really need to tell them about Jesus, it's like we are so afraid. We are so afraid because our school is not a school that wants to hear the name Jesus.
Yeah,
they don't. They are so turned off by Christianity. And so it was just, I was making sure that the kids knew that they have strength in God, and they have the strength to go through every day and live like Jeremiah. Even though people don't stand behind them, God is behind them. And basically, like, once I was done speaking, this has never really happened in a club before, but, like, they responded verbally. They raised their hand, and I was like, I really need to say something right now. And I was like, of course, say something, say anything. And just a few girls kind of shared their heart and where they're at. And one girl got teary-eyed, and she was just like, I want to see these kids love God and instead of loving drugs and all these other things. And so we ran out of time. We had to go to class, but this girl, she came over to me after, and she was just like, will you pray with me? And she was just in tears, and I've never talked to this girl before, but she was like, I do drugs. And she was like, I want to know God, and I don't know how. Please pray with me.
Wow.
And I was just like, this is what I've been waiting for. This is why I wanted to do this, because this is a place where we can throw away everything else, church and all. We're just people who want to know God, and we come together to learn about God. That's what it is. It's just kids who want to know about God, like I did when I went to elementary school.
You didn't walk down the hallway and scream and yell and rant and rave.
You know, we just love. We just love on these kids.
Just love and live life. That's what you do.
Yeah.
And they came in your club. And
yeah.
Just,
and she was like,
God touched their
heart. I've been coming here since the beginning of this year, and I want to know God. Seeing you guys love him, I want to love him too. But I do drugs, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what the first step is. I was like, pray with me. Like, that's the first step. Pray to him. Talk to him.
I tell you, that's so stinking powerful. If you guys are listening and you haven't been moved today, I don't know what will move you. I just want to share with you real quick. We have worked with clubs in the Austin and in Round Rock area, actually in Round Rock. And as I've said a couple times on the radio in your city here, just in the last couple of weeks, I am willing to come in a heartbeat and meet with any group of people who wants to reach kids in the schools. I'm crying out to pastors to get involved. I'm crying out to youth pastors and children's pastors to get involved. Parents, teenagers, even elementary age kids. You elementary age kids, you're tall enough to ride the ride. I don't know if you realize is what I mean by that is, you know, you go to the fair and you're not tall enough to get on the ride, and it's such a bummer when you can't get on the ride, but you are tall enough. You are big enough to ride the ride and say, Mom, Dad, I want this club in my school. Will you help me sponsor it? And all you got to do is what Shada did. Or what I did, and go
to the
principal.
Or what Jeremiah did, even.
Absolutely, and just step up and be bold and get permission and launch the club. I'll be willing to help anyone, anytime, anywhere. My phone number is 918-902-2442. The website for our ministry is www.kfcusa.org. My email address that you can reach me at is enews@kfcusa.org. I have also written a book, and that book will walk you through step by step how to launch a Bible club, how to run a club, everything you need to know. Stories like Shaden and Breda and Braden. Breda.
Wow, Dad, just keep screwing up my name. All right.
Shada and Braden, sorry, son. how they. Other kids who have shared with their friends in the book, and then on all of my research with regard to the law and prayer and the Bible and the schools, years worth of curriculum, everything you need to know about launching a club in the schools. Even tells you, I've got about 46 goofy games in there. This morning I had kids moving Cocoa Puffs that were coated in whipped cream from one plate
favorite.
To another, and they loved it. That's the kind of stuff that's in there. And that's the kind of thing I can come and share with you everything you need to know about launching a club. Again, the number is 918-902-2442. I just want to tell you thank you for joining us today. And I look forward to being back and sharing with you again next week. Thanks so much.